Well, good evening, Harvest family.
Trust everyone is well.
Our service tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll sing, I Love to Tell the Story. Father, we love you, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for the good service we had this morning and the visitors we had. So good to have some of them back tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart as they seek out God's will for their life, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us lift our heart and our voices in song as we worship together with you. And Lord, you bless our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a joy it is again just to be in your house, Father, again today is a blessing for us. And Father, we invite you to be with us. We want your Holy Spirit here with our pastor, with each person that's here today. And Father, we know that your word will go out forcefully, resoundfully, and Father, purposefully. And we just know that we'll be blessed in hearing your word tonight through our pastor. Thank you for Pastor Doug and for Pastor's wife, Michelle, for all that she does with the choir. Father, what a blessing this day has been, and we thank you so much for your blessed hand of grace upon us, Father, as we take time now to just give back a portion of what you've given to us this week, Father. Your many blessings are so much appreciated and needed, and Father, we just want to be a blessing back to you. So be with us, Father, as we just share this wonderful evening together in your house. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
If you have your handouts there tonight, and most of the scripture verses are in there, but we will read from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 as our text verse. And I'll give you a chance to get comfortable together. We're doing good on time tonight. Let's just take a moment. Hey, who has a testimony they'd like to share? We've got pie and praise coming up. You need some practice. God's been so good, you can't stand it, jumping up and down. Got to tell somebody. Who will be first to share a blessing tonight? Thank you, Miss Marlene. If I'm fixing to wonder, do we have a blessed church or not? Said good, we got a few. Good. Miss Marlene. Amen. Amen. We're glad they're here as well. Michelle? Amen. Only in one, not in both. And I praise the Lord that she's leaving tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. We go back a long way. We're like brother and sisters and end up poking each other. My only regret is she didn't come with her husband, and he's got to come next week. I see several hands. We're going to get to them, but I'm going to go by trouble. I remember Sam and then Margo and then Mel. Amen. 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 Lord willing, those cabinets will be in this week, and the measure for the countertops, and maybe end of the week or early next week it'll be done, especially before our next big fellowship. Look for that. And it looks beautiful. If you haven't went by there yet, please do. Boy, those cabinets and the floor, it just pops. It looks so nice. Looking forward to getting that finished. Anything? One more. Anyone else? Yes, Miss Pam. Amen. Praise the Lord. So another treat for you. I've asked Brother Steve to preach next Sunday morning for our Thanksgiving message for the week. I know Thanksgiving is next week, and then I'll be back in the pulpit on Sunday night. It's good to have them with them, and then we'll also announce that they're going to be with us through the first week of December. Through the second week of December, we'll talk more about having a love offering as well for them and their family. So glad they're here. They're one of our missionaries. And let me say this, we're getting into the message. We're doing fine financially, okay? We're doing fine. But remember, we'll be having a church budget later this year. We'll be presenting for 2026. But remember, when we take up a love offering for a missionary and our evangelists, they don't want your tithe. They want a love offering. Your tithe belongs to the local church. It goes to the church. A love offering is what we give above our tithe. Well, preacher, why are you saying that? Well, because the giving's down a little bit. And our bookkeeper said, Pastor, you've had a lot of guests, visitors, and had some evangelists and missionaries. The church looks good, looks healthy, and the money's there, but it almost looks like some monies are going toward other projects that maybe folks don't understand the aspect of tithing and offering. See, a tithe is a debt that we owe, but an offering is a seed that we sow. We can't give an offering until we've given our tithe. So just keep that in mind. But we're doing fine and doing very well and have some money in surplus, but still we have a budget for a reason. And so on that giving envelope, and this is more for the Sunday morning crowd. I know you guys are the backbone of the church on Sunday night or Wednesday night, but it's good to repeat it once in a while. We have an opportunity for, I don't like our envelopes, but I'm also a tightwad. When they're gone, we'll get some new envelopes. I don't like general. I like the word tithe on the envelope, and that's what will be on the new ones when we get those ordered. But tithe is what we owe unto the Lord, and then missions is what we give above our tithe that we feel the Lord wants us to give to missions and then building fund and other things if you'd like to give, and it is broken down from that. So our budget, general fund, our tithe goes to the general fund, the operating expenses, monies that we give above our tithe designated to missions, help support the 22 missionaries that we have around the world. And we just had a 23 that we just picked up one, and the Thorntons are with us, and we'll be having some more missionaries through this year as well as next year. The Frausto family will be with us in the coming weeks as well. So let's just keep that in mind. If you got any questions, you can see me and talk about that a little bit later. All right, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Do you really know what you believe? And we'll go about more on the grace of God. And now remember, we're doing an overview of some doctrinal things. This is not a design to give you full, but designed more to whet your appetite to do some study. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm familiar with some of the topics that we've studied. I know that. But I think it's a good reminder, and sometimes someone teaching something, hopefully in a way that helps you to understand, hey, I think I could use this to explain this better to my neighbor, to my friend, to my coworker, to my family member or wherever it may be. That's why I do the handouts and try to give you a little space to make notes so that you can use this as a lesson. One of our men came to me several weeks ago and said, Pastor, I really appreciate the way you're laying it out. We could keep this and really use it almost like a brief abbreviated discipleship program to help new converts and to whet their appetite to study further. And that's my hope and idea to help you in that area. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, as we talk more about the grace of God tonight. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight, to bless our time together. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we be reminded and refreshed on the grace of God. May we gain a few tools that we can put in our toolbox to better explain, to better help other people understand about God and his grace. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Coach Tom Landry experienced a kind of emptiness in his early coaching career. Football fans, and some of you may remember him, remember Landry as an unemotional coach who for several years paced the sidelines of the Dallas Cowboys. Walt Garrison, a former member of the Dallas Cowboys, was a running back, was once asked if Coach Tom Landry ever smiles. Garrison replied, "I don't know. I only played for him for 9 years." Tom Landry may not have showed it, but on the outside, but he knew about the feeling of emptiness. Before he came to know and trust Christ for salvation, Landry thought he knew religion, knew Christianity, and understood what it was all about. He recalls, "I can recite the Lord's Prayer, and I know the Christmas stories." And he went to church at least on an occasion, and he was familiar with the fact that Christians were supposed to try to do what was right. And then one day, as a young assistant coach, while on staff at the New York Giants, Landry was persuaded by a friend to attend a small Bible study group. It was there, by the working of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that Landry's eyes were opened and his heart was really changed. For the first time, he saw that the central message of Christianity is not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. And that's what grace is all about, is what God has done for us. The emptiness in Tom Landry's life was filled, and he became a new person in Christ. See, as Christians, you and I understand that we become believers by the grace of God. And we should rejoice in that. But we may be missing out on something equally important, and this may be our second blank, that we enjoy blessings by the grace of God. We enjoy blessings by the grace of God. Not only do we become believers by God's grace, but we enjoy the blessings of the grace of God. Isn't it a wonderful, sometimes when we make the comment or we think, oh, how someone is such a blessing. Oh, how, boy, so-and-so blessed me with. That's all of God's grace, his goodness, as he works through other believers to encourage and to bless us, and as we enjoy the blessings and the grace of God in our life. Folks, I don't know about you, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be here tonight. None of us. But because of his grace, we can have and experience what we have. Tonight, we will continue to look at the grace of God by going a little deeper into these two essential aspects of one of the Bible's most encouraging doctrines, salvation and transformation. But just a quick recap before we get to our first point. Last week we looked at the grace of God defined, the grace of God contrasted, and the grace of God needed. So number one tonight, the grace of God in salvation. Now I'm going to put a plug in here before we read our Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And we'll have a little bit of an overlap from the morning message to the night, but just how God put together in my pattern and my study and preparation. I already know what I'm preaching next Sunday. I already know what I'm preaching the next several Sunday night and Wednesday nights. And of course, 1 John chapter 5 on Sunday morning. But so God weaves these things together. We need to understand, and sometimes we need to be reminded about the grace of God. It's easy to say and it's easy to remember, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. But sometimes we need to make sure we're not taking advantage or we're not missing out on the grace of God. Sometimes we have things that are available to us, but we don't take advantage of it or we don't want to impose. Now, come on, help me out. How many of you ever made a decision you weren't quite sure because you're afraid you might be imposing on somebody? I think we've all done that. But look, folks, God's grace, we're not imposing. That's what he provides for us. And we all have different stages and aspects and walks in our life that we might need more of God's grace today than we do tomorrow for next week. We go through different circumstances and situations at home, at work, on the job, in school, in our careers, and sometimes that we need God's grace more than we ever have. But here's sometimes where we run into the problem. We don't say it, and we may not think it, but we act like we're afraid we'll impose on God by enjoying his grace. That's not the case. It's there to help us as Christians to fight the battles that we have, to fight the difficulties that we have, to fight, let's just be honest, sometimes maybe the anxiety, the frustration, or things that get in our way. But what made me think of adding this, because this is free, it's not even in my notes tonight, when Michelle gave her testimony, even though she has frozen shoulder, she thanked the Lord who was only one and not both. That's God's grace when he helps us to think of things the way that we should. We have things that we are put upon us, but God promised us to help us through those things. Ephesians, back to the outline. The grace of God in salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's the question for the 2 points under point A. When it comes to going to heaven, why, in your mind, individually, collectively, is grace so much better than works? Well, think about that. Why is grace, to me, that's a no-brainer. Why is grace so much better than works? Aren't you glad that you don't have to earn your way? How many of you remember having to earn some money to buy the shoes that you wanted? Or ladies, or the pocketbook, or the makeup, or the extra things, because we grew up in a generation where we were taught to work for things, and we had to work. I'm so glad, because I know me, I don't know how I could ever do enough to be in God's good grace, but I have found a way, and it was through Jesus Christ, his Son, the grace of God. Letter A. Why in our mind, again, is grace so much better than works? Letter A, because we cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn salvation. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, the phrase, and that not of yourself, really nails down this truth. It's nothing that I can do. I might have a small part, you might have a small part, and someone else being saved is still called grace when we take the Bible and show them what it says. But it's all of him. It's all of grace. There's nothing we can do. Do I serve the Lord anyway? Well, of course I do. Do I still want to do things and labor for the Lord? Yes, because it is a fruit or evidence of my salvation that I want to serve and live for Christ, but not part of something I need to do to gain it. You see, if we were saved by anything we had done, it would not be by grace. And it certainly wouldn't glorify the Lord for what he had done. Would we not be taken away from the Lord if we could earn our way to salvation? It's because of what he has done, the glory of the Lord for what he did. James chapter 1 and verse 16 through 18. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us. With his own will he beget us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We must remember that grace is grace because we cannot earn it. I am so grateful for the grace of God. I don't know why we came up and say the word or make the comment, well, let's make sure we say grace before we eat. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever taken the time to think about the grace of God in your personal life? Why you're where you're at today? God's goodness, God's protecting hand, God seeing you through and helping you through. Maybe at times we felt like, how in the world did we make it? That's the grace of God. Well, Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? Well, maybe it's because God wants to show his grace strong in and through your life. Letter B, not only because we cannot earn salvation, but because we do not deserve salvation. We do not deserve salvation. See, grace is the break you get when you don't deserve it, but you don't or won't understand until you experience it. Let me say that again. Grace is the break you get when you don't deserve it, but you won't understand it until you experience it. How many times have we witnessed to someone or experienced this ourselves in salvation that we didn't quite fully understand everything when we trusted Christ, but we knew we didn't want to go to hell. We knew we believed by faith what the Bible had to say. We knew the Lord died for us, and we knew we wanted to have eternal life, and we accepted it. We repented of our sins. We trusted the Lord for salvation, began to attend church and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and then all of a sudden one day we realize, wow, now I think I get it. Now I think I understand the grace of God and the goodness of God as we look at how the Lord has changed our life, fulfilled our life, and helped us in a different way because we've experienced and lived it. And salvation is something that we do not deserve. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am in chief, Apostle Timothy here, Paul writing to Timothy. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Again, that first part. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, sometimes we feel that way. Some of us had the opportunity of being saved as a young person, got saved from a life of sin. Some of us may have trusted the Lord a little bit later in life and were saved out of a life of sin. Both are tremendous miracles. Both are great exercises in the grace of God in our lives. And the better that we understand grace and the better we understand it scripturally, it makes it easier to live out and to explain to others about the grace of God. The mercy of God is Him keeping from me that which I do not deserve because of my sin. Think about that for a moment when we think about not deserving salvation. The mercy, God's mercy, is Him keeping from me that which I do not deserve because of my sins. The grace of God is Him giving to me that which I do not deserve. You see, mercy and grace are basically, you'll forgive me, Siamese twins of salvation. They are both essential. They go hand in hand. Salvation, the grace of God in salvation, because we cannot earn it, because we do not deserve it, and let her see, because Jesus died for our salvation. I'm going to go to a different verse of Scripture. There's many other verses I could have used, but for sake of time, I'm just going to use one in the book of Revelation. But here's the vision of the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation, the picture of what would be, because Jesus died for our salvation. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. Dear friends, because Jesus died for our salvation, the Lamb of God, we need to understand, and the better we can understand the aspect of God's grace in our life, it's easy for us to explain. It's easy for us to try to live out. It's hard to explain. But it's so much different when we begin to experience the goodness of God. I'm going to say this again before we move on. That's why I like to every once in a while just ask for a salvation testimony. Tonight we had several. And you can't see this, but my joy is doing this on the inside. Because it was like pulling teeth the first time I asked you almost three years ago. Just getting people in the exercise of exercising and sharing God's grace in your life, sharing the testimony of what God has done for you. It's a joy in it, and sharing the grace of God, sharing our experience, sharing God's goodness to us, it helps other people understand the grace of God and the goodness of God in our lives. Number two, the grace of God in salvation. Number two, the grace of God in transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, a picture, an illustration of the grace of God. See, that's why we have that little word there. If, therefore, if any man be in Christ. We have so many people walk around today that says they're believers. Say they attend church. Say they know God. They know about God. Let me remind you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, the book of James tells us the devil believes and trembles. knowing God and knowing about God is completely different than salvation. It's completely different than the grace of God in our life. Because the Bible says, as we read here in our text, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Yes, when we get saved and we come to know the Lord, our life begins to change. And all of us have different personalities. And I believe this, and don't mess up my theology if you disagree with me, but just bear with me till you hear me out. I believe a lot of our salvation when we get saved and the response afterwards has a lot to do with our personalities. Some of us are very open. Some of us are a little more reserved. We get just as much of the Holy Spirit if you're a sparky sanguine or if you're a choleric. We get the same dose of the Holy Spirit. But some people are more outspoken. I'll give you a few examples. My uncle got saved, an old 3-pack-a-day cigarette-smoking, liquor-drinking truck driver. And I'm not saying he had to do those things because he's a truck driver. I'm just saying that was his life for many, many years. And then one day, he got saved. And my Uncle John went home, and as a believer, I had witnessed to many of my uncles, and I was a teenager at this time. And he got saved, and he pulled some of us boys aside, the cousins, and let us know that, hey, I want to tell you what I did today. I went home and poured out all the liquor in my house and threw away all of my cigarettes. You know why? Because I trusted Jesus. Amen. Some people have that personality, and boom, they just shed it all. Others, it may take a step or two. It may take a little time. As they grow in grace, they grow in the Lord, they begin to see some things in their life that will damage the temple, that will hurt the temple, that they begin to want to shed and make some changes in their life. It's a progression. Others, again, are just wide open. I had another friend, I think I may have referred to him some time ago, L.E. Brandon. L.E. Brandon came through in Texas, and I don't know how I ran into him. I saw him out in public where we were at Fort Hood, Texas, and I thought to myself, that guy looks familiar. And then he waited to come over and talk to me. And for a while there, Michelle was a little scared because I invited this guy who was just coming off drug addiction, had a lot of scars and markings on his body from the world that he was living in, to spend the night, to spend a few days helping get back on his feet because we went to high school together. We spent our senior year having lunch together 2 days a week during the year. I got to know him, and my heart longed for him. And a long story short, I had the privilege of L.E. trusting Christ as his Savior on a Wednesday night at the Killeen Baptist Temple after church. And he was slow to change, but he knew he needed to change. And he's like, Mac, and y'all remember Douglas MacArthur is Mac growing up. Mac, I don't know how I can do this. I said, L.E., it's one day at a time. I just don't know that I can. What should I do? I said, I think you should call your mom and dad and go back home. Well, I'm an adult. I can't do that. Yeah, but your mom and dad love you. And they're wondering, do they know where you are? Probably not. He made the phone call back to East Tennessee in Oak Ridge and called mom and dad. And mom and dad had a ticket waiting for him at the bus stop for the next day. Took him home, took him to the bus stop. He went back. Fast forward several years later, probably 15 years at least. Here I am at the mall in Knoxville, home on a furlough from the mission field, and I hear this, hey, Mac, across the food court. And I look across, and there's L.E. Brandon. I didn't even recognize him. He had a haircut, and he was dressed a little bit different, and he come by and hugged me and picked me up and says, I've got to introduce you to my family. Wow. So I ran over to the table, grabbed Michelle, and we sat down. He introduced him to his wife and his two children. And he said, this is my friend who introduced your daddy to Jesus. Before he was scared, before he wasn't sure how he's going to do it, I know I have Christ and I believe what the Bible says, but how am I going to get from here to where God wants me to be? 15 years later, he goes back to his mom and dad. He gets help from mom and dad. He gets into church. And the last time I saw him then, he was not only introducing me to his kids, but he also said, I'm involved in the children's ministry at the church. Boy, that joy was just festering up. Again, it's a different pace. Some go home and get rid of everything. Others, it's a slow walk. But here's what I've told you before. I'm not so much concerned about how fast you're moving as I am that you're moving in the right direction. And we need to realize that some will run. Some are hard charging. And others just go at a slow, steady pace with their personality as God has made them, but they're moving in the grace in the right direction. All of that is still the grace of God working in and through our lives. And we need to allow him to continue to do that. Let's go move on. Here's my question for this section. We'll be done. How would you describe the difference between reformation and transformation? See, more than anything, reformation is man's attempt to get to God by changing his life from the outside. Transformation is the work of God, that God does in a man from the inside out as a result of his salvation. Again, man or woman, but God works on the inside out. See, we can't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes God is doing a work in somebody that we may not see right away, but as they're moving in the right direction, God's grace grows and helps them. Letter A, redemption is by God's grace. 1 Peter verse 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Dear friends, we are free from the consequences of sin. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Letter B, not just redemption is by God's grace, but justification is by God's grace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, to be justified is to be rendered innocent or to be made righteous. We have been rendered innocent or made righteous because of justification that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something we can do for ourselves, but it is something that only God can do for us. That's the work of grace in our life. How often do we, again, go back to my word, we don't want to impose. How often do we maybe stay at a length of more than we should because we're not sure if we're ready for this yet? Well, here's what we act like. I want God's grace, but I don't want an extra helping. I want God's grace, but I don't want too much. Well, whoever thinks that way has never eaten biscuits and gravy for me, because I'll take the extra ladle every single time. And in God's grace, I'll take the extra every single time. Allow God's grace to work in and through your life. Several years ago, and I can't remember if I shared this or not, we had a family, and I won't say their name. It was a pastor with the military. But they got in a panic, and they quit coming to church. And I talked to them, and I'm trying to figure out, and here's what it came down to. I'm afraid of what God will ask me to do next. And I'm like, brother, since you've been here, your twin boys and twin girls trusted Christ. They follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Your girls are excited about serving the Lord. They bug you to make sure they can make the next teen activity. They're always on you. You guys are getting involved. Your wife is helping with some meals that we have on Wednesday night when the guys are deployed. And you've gotten more involved in coming around saying, Pastor, what can I do to help? And now you're afraid of what God will ask you to do next? Brother, you should be like this. I can't wait to see what God has for me to next, because his grace will help me. His grace will give me the words. His grace will give me the strength. His grace will give me the wisdom and the insight I need to do whatever he asks me to do next. Folks, don't be afraid of the grace of God. Don't be afraid of the helpings and blessings. It's not just about the blessings of God's grace. Sometimes that grace gives us what we need to take that next step of Christian service. That grace gives us what we need to step out in faith of teaching and being involved, singing in the choir, teaching a class, helping in a class, or whatever it may be. That grace helps us as we grow in the Lord. Don't be afraid of it. Redemption is by God's grace. Justification is by God's grace. It's not something, again, that we can do for ourselves, but it is something that only God can do for us. The grace of God in salvation, the grace of God in transformation, redemption, justification, then lastly, sanctification is by God's grace. Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. See, to be sanctified is to be set apart unto the Lord. So God has a desire to use each and every one of us in some aspect, in some form of ministry. God did not design us to get saved, follow the Lord and believer's baptism, and just sit in the pew. He wants more from us. And we can do more if we allow that work of grace in our life as he sets us apart for service unto him. Quick commercial again. The new year is coming. We're going to have a theme of faith, family, and fellowship for the new year in 2026. We are going to try to get as many people involved in breaking down some areas of ministry. Remember, pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, and proclamation care. And that proclamation care is going to break down everything in reference to evangelism, our missions program, working in the sound booth, the website, everything that getting the gospel out by word or by audio or video or track distribution will all fall under that proclamation. Pastoral care will help in helping pastor and not only make visits, but also making sure that your pastor is cared for. The parishioner care will be involved in follow-up and mentorship and discipleship within our church. And property care speaks for itself. The building and the grounds that we have of making sure where I can volunteer my time, where I can be involved, where I can advise in helping keep our facilities looking nice. We've spent some money this year in painting our facilities and working on the fellowship hall, doing some decor around the outside for the curb appeal. We'll be doing some more in 2026, and God has blessed us with the money to do it. And I think we should find out an area where we can be involved and allow the grace of God to work in and through our life as we serve one another and as we serve our community, to be set apart unto the Lord. It has the idea of being made holy, and that is something that happens only when a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we first become holy in the Lord at salvation, and then we become holy for the Lord. First, you got to be holy in the Lord, and then we can be holy and righteous and serve in grace as the Lord works in our life as we serve one another. And then lastly, letter D, graduation is by God's grace. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, one day, by God's grace, we'll all graduate into heaven, amen? One day, by God's grace, we'll be on the other side. But until then, let's allow the Lord to do a transformation in our life, to live out that sanctification, that justification, and all those areas we allow the Lord as he's redeemed us by his blood, saying, Lord, help me to grow in grace and knowledge. Lord, give me your grace that I need today to minister unto others. Lord, help me. We'll close with this thought. Remember when, those of you who had children, remember when all the kids were home? Especially those that had larger families and more kids. Remember those days when things were just really, really hard? It seemed like all the kids, they just can't have a bad day individually. They've all got to have it the same day. You remember some of those days that happened on a rarity. I know you all raised angels, but on the rarity that you had those days. Remember those days, said, Lord, I need your help. You're saying, Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your help. And dear friends, whether it's a trying time, a rejoicing time, an overwhelming time, or a time that we're not sure how it's going to turn out, we all need God's grace. And we need to allow the Lord to bestow that upon us. Don't worry about imposing on the Lord. Allow the grace of God. And as a title tonight, not just what do you really know about the grace of God last week, this week, is do you really know what you believe more about the grace of God? I don't know about you. I want more of his grace tomorrow than I had today. And I want more the next day because I know that it helps me grow. It helps me be more like him. And it helps me to minister to others. Sometimes it helps me to speak when I'm not sure. Sometimes it helps me to bite my tongue. But whatever and however it helps me, I want the grace of God to work in and through my life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Father, help us as we have looked at the last 2 weeks about the grace of God and more about the grace of God today. Father, help us to start our day each and every day. Lord, help me to live and experience more of your grace that I might minister more effectively to others, that I might learn and glean by your grace as I study your scripture. Father, help me to be more like you today than I was yesterday. Father, help us to strive for that type of grace to work in and through our lives. And now, Father, dismiss us with your love tonight. Again, may you be uplifted and glorified in our fellowship and in our conversation. Give us a great week this week and help us to be a blessing. Help us to exercise grace. Help us to glean some grace this week. And Lord, help us to recognize it when we see it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God, before we dismiss, we're going to sing our song, so let's stand together.